digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
What happened to David Plummer wasn't supposed to happen.
He put himself in harm's way and he got involved with something that he shouldn't have.
Do you know who killed David?
He works for me.
You lied to me. This entire day has been one giant lie. What you've done makes me sick!
Enough! I need you to swear to me that you will do as I ask for the country.
I hate you.
The situation with Martha is taken care of.
There are too many loose ends lying around. We cannot afford to have her pull on one and unravel everything.
She won't.
I have the recording.
Have you destroyed it?
No, sir, I have not.
You and I have been in this from the beginning. Destroying that recording protects both of us.
God, O'Brien.
Where is she?
She's working out of Bill Buchanan's house.
Did Chloe tell you why she was helping Audrey Ransenbauer?
She thinks Jack is innocent. That President Logan framed Bauer?
This is Karen Hayes. Miles, trace Chloe to your house. You have less than 7 minutes to get Chloe out of there.
Karen, why are you warning us?
Because I may have made a mistake earlier.
Chloe, if they find you here, you'll be arrested. You have to go now.
Not yet.
Jack forces Henderson's car off the road and through the wall of a barn. He gets him in his sights.
It's over, Christopher! Turn around!
Give me the recording.
I don't have it.
Where is it?
Henderson wasn't lying.
He doesn't have the recording on him.
There must have been some kind of a handoff.
Henderson stopped and rendezvoused with another car.
Can you track that vehicle?
We're tracking it now.
It headed back to Van Nuys, looks like the civilian side of the airfield, and pulled onto the tarmac. Whoever it was got out and got directly onto the plane. It's a chartered diplomatic flight, Jack. We've tried everything we can. There's no way to delay it.
Jack slips through the security cordon and stows away in the hold of the diplomatic jet.
The following takes place between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m.
Okay, call me when you got him. Yeah.
Bill, are you out? The field team's almost there.
Chloe's packing the comm gear. She needs to stay in touch with Jack.
Where is Jack?
Van Nuys Airport. He's stowed away on a diplomatic flight that just took off.
What? Why?
He's trying to find a recording that implicates President Logan.
And someone on that flight has it?
Yes, and we don't know who. That's what Chloe's been trying to find out.
Hang on. Yeah.
Field team's a block away from Buchanan's. I'll set up here for the remote debrief of O'Brien.
No, put it in the Situation Room.
Oh, I thought you wanted to...
I want it in the Situation Room. Go.
Pervasian throws her a strange look, but complies.
Bill, the field team's going to be there any second. Get Chloe out of there now.
How close are they?
One block.
All right, I'm going to have to run interference. It's more important that she gets away.
Good. I'll bring you in. You'll be treated as a suspect. We never talked.
Understood. They're here, out the back.
Bill, wait. Have Chloe call me on a dry channel, either 15 or 27.
Dry channel 15 or 27. Got it. There's a gate in the back. Follow the path between the houses to the alley. Turn right and go to Ventura Boulevard.
What about the curfew?
There's a hotel on the boulevard, the Miramont. You should be able to make it there without being spotted.
What about you?
I'm going to make sure you're not followed. I'll be at CTU, probably in holding.
Why in holding?
Karen's going to place me under arrest. If you need anything, contact her.
Why is she...
Chloe, please, just go.
Bill ushers Chloe urgently out through the back door. She scurries away into the night. Up the front path of the house walk several serious-looking Homeland Security agents. Bill returns to his desk and still live computer and prepares himself by removing his overshirt and ruffling his hair.
Who is it? Homeland Security. Again, if you need to open the door. Right order from Karen Hayes.
I'll be right there. What's going on?
Please step aside, sir. We need to search the house.
No, I'm not stepping aside. Do you have a warrant?
Where's Chloe O'Brien?
I have no idea.
Sir, don't make us use force. We know she's been here.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
Where is she?
I don't know where Chloe O'Brien is.
The leading agent pushes past Bill into the house. The rest follow. They swarm through the study living room, checking for signs of Chloe's presence.
She's not here.
Sir? This is a recent file from COM. Only O'Brien could access it.
Talk to us, sir.
I'm not talking to you. I'll talk to Karen Hayes.
The lead agent narrows his eyes and pulls out his mobile phone.
Papazian.
Mr. Papazian.
We are on site. It appears Chloe O'Brien was here, but she is gone.
Is Bill Buchanan there?
Yes, sir.
We lost O'Brien.
Damn it.
Put him on the phone, please.
Hello?
Don't play games with me, Bill. Just give me O'Brien's location or I will make it very bad for you.
From what I understand, Miles, she got out of CTU right under your nose. You're the one who ought to be concerned, not me.
Bill, this is Karen Hayes. Tell us what you know now. Stop wasting our time.
I'm not saying anymore.
He hands the agent his phone back.
This is Ed.
Ed, bring Buchanan in. Set up a grid search for Chloe. She's probably got a car, which means she's about 15 miles out.
Copy that.
But the agents on site are trained for interrogation. Why are you bringing him
because
in?
Because I want to run this, Miles.
But now it's us who are wasting
Don't
time here.
Don't worry. I will make him talk. I'll be in my office.
End of part one. 2:06. A police squad car glides down a ramp into an underground car park. Chloe hides behind a pillar until the car has passed and then discreetly crosses the roadway and passes through glass doors into a hotel lobby. Trying to be inconspicuous, she walks at an even pace through into the bar. She looks around. There are people drinking coffee and a scattering of others at the bar with glasses of wine. Chloe spots a free table on the other side of the room and crosses over to it. She unzips her bag and gets out her laptop. She catches the eye of a grinning lounge lizard at the bar. She pulls out her mobile.
I'm set up at the Miramont Hotel. Make sure no one looks for me here.
I'll take care of that. Tell me what else you need.
Jack's on diplomatic flight 520. Pull up the manifest.
Got it. Flight 520 to Frankfurt.
Okay, put everything you've got from that flight under the shared volume so I can get to it. Crew, passengers, cargo, everything.
Done.
Okay. I see it. Thanks.
Chloe hangs up and then immediately dials out again. Through the night sky flies the jet. In the hold, Jack's phone rings.
Yeah.
Jack, are you okay?
I'm fine. Did you get what I need?
Got the passenger list. It's going to take some time to cross it against Henderson.
What about the air marshal?
That I'll have in a couple minutes.
Okay, good. What's happening at CTU?
They're still under orders from the president to stop you, but Karen Hayes is backing us.
Openly?
No, but she's letting me help you. There's proof against Logan. She wants it found.
The proof is on this plane. Check the flight manifest. Figure out which passenger has a connection to Henderson and get back to me with the air marshal's seat number.
I will.
2:08. Chloe squares up to her task. The lounge lizard lucks out with a woman at the bar.
I don't think so.
Oh, hey. I was just asking. You don't have to go all feminist on me. You see that? 21st century woman. We better get used to it.
Chloe finds what she is looking for. A name, Georgia Villa, flashes up onto her screen. She whips out her mobile and calls Jack.
Yeah?
Jack, I found the air marshal. His name is George Avila. He's sitting in 7A.
Anyone sitting next to him?
No.
Okay, good. Get back to me when you've got the connection to Henderson.
Got it.
Jack removes his shoulder bag and starts to unlock the hatch door over his head. In the cabin of the plane, the trap door is cautiously lifted. The elegant ankles of a stewardess walk by it. Jack then pushes open the hatch and lifts himself into the rear service area. He closes the hatch and secretes himself behind the curtain. Peering round the edge of the doorway, he then moves discreetly through into the seating area, which is quite full of people. He moves slowly along the row of seats, seemingly in search of someone. He arrives at a row of three seats, empty but for a single man by the window.
Excuse me.
Is that sea ticket? Oh. Thanks. The stewardess said I could change seats. I was next to the galley. It's kind of noisy. I'm trying to get some rest.
Jack takes a pillow from the other seat, chooses his moment, and then knocks out his neighbour with a stunning elbow jab to the cheek. He thoughtfully wedges the pillow between the window and the man's head and then removes the ID badge from his pocket. 2:14, in the bar, the lounge lizard is turning his attentions to Chloe. Jack, back in the service area, takes another call.
Okay, the man you're looking for is in seat 12D. His name is Hans Meyer. He's with the German government. He's been connected to Omicron since the mid-1990s. He's worked directly with Henderson. That's it.
Okay, I got it.
Jack peers back around the curtain. In a seat near the rear sits a man in shirt sleeves with a bald head. Jack moves through to the cabin. The crew are making a coffee round.
Mr. Meyer.
Miss.
My name is George Avila. I'm the air marshal on this flight.
That's all?
It's nothing serious. We found something that we think is yours. It should have been in the baggage compartment. We'd just like you to come back to the galley and identify it for us so we can properly stow it. Please, sir, we'd really appreciate it. If you have any carry-on bags, you should bring them with you.
I don't.
Very well.
Jack circumspectly escorts the German through into the galley and pulls the curtains across.
What makes you think it was mine?
Ticket stub.
Jack hits him hard in the solar plexus and gets him in a stranglehold. As he squeezes hard around Meyer's neck, the stewardess moves down the aisle towards the galley, pushing her coffee trolley. Jack lifts the hatch down into the hold and rolls Meyer towards the opening. The stewardess, meanwhile, is getting closer. Jack lowers Meyer through the hatch and drops him down into the hold. He follows him through and then closes the trap door just a split second before the stewardess pushes her trolley through the curtains. She looks around and down at the handle of the floor hatch, but carries on. 2:16. Martha, in the bathroom of her apartment, seems to be looking for something. She crossly slams the door of a cupboard and moves purposefully towards the door. She opens it to find Agent Adams standing guard on the threshold.
They have taken away all my medication. I need to get to it.
I'm sorry, ma'am. They won't let me give that to you.
What do they think I'm going to do? Kill myself? Over that son of a bitch? I just called the President of the United States a son of a bitch. No reaction? He must have some kind of law on the books against that. Or am I immune? Just like he is.
Adams stares back at her, professionally neutral.
Do you have a first name, Agent Adams?
It's Justin, ma'am.
You don't have much of a personality, do you, Justin?
Adams' expression remains the same as before. Martha sweeps back inside and grabs a phone, dialing angrily. Mike Novick answers his cell phone.
This is Novick.
It's Martha. Are you still in the retreat?
Yes, I'm just down the hall from your room.
I need you to come here right away.
I'll be right there.
Mike's eyes sweep from right to left beneath his hooded lids as if he had been expecting the worst and it's now arrived. Martha hangs up and moves over to sit on her bed. Mike walks swiftly along the corridor and past Adams, who stands aside for him.
They've cut me off from my medication.
You haven't been cut off. Dr. Hill said you had enough in your system right now. You need to wait a few hours.
I don't want to wait a few hours, Mike. I need something now.
What's going on, Mrs. Logan?
I don't need counseling, Mike. I just want a damn pill.
Sit down. Sit. Thank you, Agent. You're dismissed.
Mike closes the door on Agent Adams.
We've been through some tough times before, Martha. Just follow the doctor's orders for now.
This is more than just a tough time, Mike. None of this is going to go away. I just have to live with it.
What do you mean it's not going to go away? What are you talking about?
I shouldn't have said that.
Martha, it's me. Now you say what needs to be said.
What needs to be said, I can't say to you.
Why not?
Listen, Mike, I just... I just need to get some sleep. I'm just... my nerves are shot from today. I just need something to calm me down. I just need to get my medication.
Well, the president doesn't want you to leave the room.
Then you can bring it here. I just want to take a couple of pills. I need to sleep. You can watch me take them.
Mike considers.
I'll see what I can do.
Charles Logan stands staring into the middle distance. 2:20. He takes a call on his cell phone.
Yes?
Have they found Bauer yet?
No, they haven't.
That's not good.
I know that's not good. I'm putting pressure everywhere I can.
I don't think I have to tell you how disastrous it would be if Bauer gets his hands on that recording.
That's exactly right. You don't have to tell me. I know. When I find him, I will call you. Is there anything else?
No.
Good.
Logan hangs up on Graham. Mike Novick walks purposefully into the office.
Mr. President.
What is it, Mike?
There's something I think I should call to your attention.
Yes?
Your wife is in a very agitated state. I don't know how to proceed.
Proceed with what?
She wants me to bring her her medication against doctor's orders.
So all I need right now is to deal with her.
No, no, no more pills. And she shouldn't be wasting your time with this anyway.
Mr. President. Is there something going on that I should know about?
Why? What did she say?
She needs more medication to calm herself down. Something's clearly bothering her, but she didn't want to talk about it.
I don't see where any of this becomes your business, Mike.
I'll tell you where, Mr. President. I'm your chief of staff. If there's something going on that I don't know about that involves national security, it is my business.
Logan appears chastened. He looks away, agonizing for a long moment, and then turns back to Mike.
This isn't national security, Mike. It's our marriage. I think both of us realized today. At this point, our relationship is nothing more than a facade, and one that we're going to have to keep up for as long as I'm president. I think that she's reacting to that, Mike.
I see. I'm sorry, sir.
Mike, give her what she wants. Lord knows she's in a lot of pain.
Mike gives Logan a long appraising look and walks wordlessly away. The president watches him go and then turns back. In the hold of the jet, Jack is searching Meyer's prone body at gunpoint.
Where are you hiding it?
Hiding what? What do you want? What the hell is this?
I know who you are. I know your connection with Omicron. I know your history with Christopher Henderson. He asked you to take something out of the country for him. Where is it?
Christopher Henderson. I have not seen him in months.
Don't you lie to me.
I am not lying, I swear. I know Henderson, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you check your locket?
Yes.
Find it. Move!
2:23. Chloe works in the hotel lounge.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Homework?
Homework, yeah.
I didn't know they had Wi-Fi in here.
Could you leave me alone? I can't talk right now.
You're a little freaked out because of the curfew thing. Join the club.
Yeah, okay.
When you come up for air, I'm by.
The lounge lizard smiles magnanimously and sways back towards the bar. Chloe looks long-sufferingly at his back and makes a call out.
Airport Customs.
This is Chloe O'Brien from CTU Los Angeles. I need to talk to somebody in passenger clearing.
I'll need your verification.
Agency ID CTU-99A-12.
The captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign, and we are expecting some turbulence. Please return to your seat and make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened.
The passengers obey the instruction of the stewardess, who moves down the aisle checking numbers. A steward appears.
Passenger in 12D must be in the forward lavatory. You should get him out. The captain says it's going to shake pretty hard.
There's nobody in those. I just checked.
Then where's this guy?
I don't know. Maybe he changed seats.
George Avila slowly keels over and rolls from his seat. The stewardess checks Avila, who regains consciousness.
Call the captain and tell him the air marshal's down and a passenger's missing.
What's going on here?
Please be seated, sir.
Now, sir.
Yeah?
Captain, this is Dan. The air marshal's been assaulted.
What? Assaulted? What's going on back there?
I don't know, sir, but he's been knocked out and a passenger's missing.
Okay, secure the cabin. Keep the passengers under control.
What's going on?
There's a problem in the cabin. Make sure our door's secure.
It is. What kind of problem?
The air marshal's been knocked out. Call LA Center. Get vectors for an emergency return.
Mr. Avila, what happened?
The man seated next to me, where is he?
I didn't see him.
I gotta find him. Damn it.
What?
He's got my gun.
2:25. End of part two. Part three, 2:29. In the hold of the plane, Jack checks through Maya's luggage. Martha Logan goes to answer the knock at her door.
Mike, come in.
Mike enters the room, clearly with a great weight on his mind.
So, do you have something for me?
This is just enough for a couple of days. Dr. Hill's going to come
Thank
in.
Thank you, Mike.
Martha grabs the plastic canister of pills and throws some into her mouth. She takes a mouthful of wine from her glass and knocks the tablets back.
I'm going to get ready for bed now. Is there something else?
Yes, there is. Earlier, you said something to the effect that I didn't know everything that was going on.
I was confused. I wanted my pills.
I don't think so.
You calling me a liar?
I just spoke with the president, and I got the same feeling from him that I get from you.
Which is?
That you're both covering something up.
You know, Mike, I'm the one around here who's supposed to be paranoid, not you.
I know you, Martha. And I know the president. He said this is all about marital difficulties. I think there's something else. What is it? Don't shut me out. Maybe I can help you.
There is something else, Mike. It's between me and Charles. If that changes, I promise I'll let you know.
Martha looks levelly at Mike. He finally drops his gaze and turns to go. 2:31.
I don't know what you think Henderson gave me. I saw no one. I was picked up at the consulate and brought directly here.
We have witnesses. You can ask them.
Is this your only piece of luggage?
Yes.
If you're lying to me, I'll find out.
I am not lying, please. If there is someone on this plane that has something you want, it is not me.
Yeah.
Jack, I don't think Hans Meyer is our guy.
Why not?
The timeline doesn't match. He's been in customs for the last 3 hours, clearing himself onto the flight.
The plane's turning.
That
means they know I'm on board. Chloe, keep looking.
Okay.
Jack looks all around and then hurries across to the hatch into the galley. He strains to open it, but to no avail. In the galley, Avila secures the trap door.
You sure he's down there?
There's nowhere else he can be. Tell the pilot he can do it.
But there's a passenger down there with him. He could die.
Super 50 passengers up here. Call him now.
The stewardess looks with distaste at Avila.
Captain, the air marshal says the baggage area is secure and that you should begin.
Jack seems to give up trying to open the hatch. He looks around in alarm as the hissing begins.
Air's coming in.
It's not coming in, it's going out.
What do you mean?
They're depressurizing this area.
What's going to happen to us?
If we don't get into the main cabin, we're going to lose consciousness.
Jack, what's going on in the plane? The security net just issued a bulletin.
Chloe, I need you to patch me through to the pilot.
I don't know if I can do that.
Chloe, they're depressurizing this area. We're going to lose consciousness.
Okay.
Chloe pulls a small Bluetooth device out of her bag and dials. Karen Hayes at CTU answers.
Yeah, Chloe. Jack needs us to patch him into the pilot of the flight. Can you get through on a CTU subchannel?
I'll try. Hold on.
I'll stay on the line.
Air Control Officer 404.
Yes, I need you to patch me through to the pilot of Diplomatic Flight 520 out of Van Nuys.
Hey, what do you got? A little voiceover IP going on there?
Please leave me alone.
No, seriously, I can help. I know a way for you to get some free bandwidth.
Really?
Absolutely.
Sit down.
Cool. Wow, nice piece. Never seen one of these before. What is that?
Chloe fells him with a stun gun.
CTU Series 4.
Chloe, they've opened the line to the pilot. I'll patch him through.
Thanks. Hey, Jack, I'm putting you on with the pilot.
Go ahead. This is Captain Stan Cotter. Who am I speaking to?
Captain, my name is Jack Bauer. I'm with the counter-terrorist unit in Los Angeles. I'm the man in your baggage hold.
What do you think you're doing?
I'll explain everything in a moment, but you're going to have to restore air pressure to this area. Sir, I remind you, I am a federal agent.
What kind of a federal agent knocks out an air marshal? I don't believe you.
Sir, I was passed through to you by a CTU subchannel. I couldn't have done that unless I had clearance.
Look, all I know is you have a gun and you have breached airplane security.
Captain, this is a matter of national security. Now open the damn hatch!
What do you think? He couldn't have patched in through CTU if he was hostile.
There's no point in taking a chance. In a couple of minutes, he'll pass out. From there, the air marshal can handle it.
Captain, we are running out of air down here. Captain, I know you can hear me. There is a man on board your plane that is of danger to you. That's why I am here. Open the hatch!
The captain looks grimly across to his co-pilot.
I can't do that.
You son of a bitch.
Jack scrambles through the hold. Maya looks on with concern as Jack inspects the ceiling panels. He sets the phone down on a case. The screen reads, Connected, Chloe, speakerphone on. Jack clicks open a dagger and begins slitting through the seals of the panels overhead. He prizes a panel out. He inspects the taut steel cables within and then moves hurriedly across to Maya.
Move forward.
Having got Maya to safety, Jack takes a leather strap and slips it through the cables overhead. He pulls violently downwards, causing the plane to go into a nosedive. In the cabin, the passengers panic.
What was that?
Aileron conduit's been breached.
What?
What the hell do you think you're doing? You're gonna kill everybody on this plane?
That's up to you! Open the hatch!
I'm not letting you up here.
Then you'll be responsible for everything that happens!
All right. Sue, I'm gonna stabilize the pressure and I'm letting them up. I want you to unlock the hatch. Cockpit secure.
He
can't get in here.
Yes, Captain.
With a venomous look at Avila, the stewardess undoes the hatch.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
The captain ordered me to open the hatch.
Both of you, turn around and grab the wall. Now!
Avila and the stewardess comply. Jack fetches out his canvas shoulder bag and hoists himself up out of the hatch, keeping them covered with his gun all the while.
You... in the baggage hold. Do it. Now.
2:37. Jack forces Avila down into the hold with Maya. Once the marshal is down, Jack turns to the stewardess.
Close it.
Lock it.
Take me to the forward galley now.
Get back to your seats.
What's going on?
Sit down!
He has a gun!
Everybody stay in your seats. Face forward. Put your hands on your head. Do what I tell you and no one will get hurt. If you don't, people will start to die.
Get the captain on the phone now.
Sir, he's in the main cabin. He has a gun.
First class passengers moving to the main cabin.
Everyone's in the main cabin.
Captain, this is Jack Bauer. I want to assure you I have no intention of hurting any of your passengers. I need to find something that's on the plane. It's a matter of national security.
What do you want, Bauer?
I want you to remain in a holding pattern so I can search your passengers.
If you're really a federal agent, you know I have to land this plane.
Sir, that won't give me enough time.
No, that's not my problem.
I have a gun. Your air marshal is down, Captain. It is your problem. You need to remain in a holding pattern. Do you understand me?
You do what you have to do, Mr. Bauer. My job is to land this airplane, and that is what I'm going to do. Captain! Captain!
Frustrated, Jack discards the phone. He turns towards the main cabin where the terrified passengers sit with their hands on their heads. He eyes them compassionately. 2:43, Chloe continues working by the unconscious body of the lounge lizard.
That's all we have on flight 520, sir.
Okay. Look, I want updates on the situation on a minute-by-minute basis, if necessary.
Yes, sir.
Logan straightens up from standing over the speakerphone and walks nervously towards the back of his office. He pulls out his mobile and dials.
Yes.
I just got word from the FAA about a hijacking aboard a diplomatic flight that left Van Nuys a half hour ago.
So what?
Jack Bauer is a hijacker.
What is he doing on that flight?
He's looking for the recording that implicates me and David Palmer's death. Henderson handed it off to somebody before he was arrested, and Jack must know that it's on board.
Well, you shouldn't be wasting your time talking to me. Order the plane down and grab Bauer before he can hurt us.
Logan swallows hard.
Wait, what are you saying? That he hijacked the plane?
Not exactly. He has control of the cabin. The pilot is landing the plane.
What about that recording?
He's still looking for it, but there's no guarantee he'll find it before the plane lands.
And after that, it's all over. The president will have his people arrest Jack at the airport and isolate him.
What are we supposed to do?
Just keep helping Jack. Chloe, I need to see that evidence. Call me if you need anything from here.
Fine.
Karen pushes out through the door of her office as Bill Buchanan is escorted into CTU in handcuffs. Pervasian intervenes.
Give me a second. What's Bauer doing on Flight 520?
You have no idea what you're dealing with, you little ass kisser.
You don't talk to my people like that, Bill. Take him to holding.
It's no wonder CTU fell apart under that guy.
Miles, I know you're trying to help, but I'll take it from here, okay?
Pervasian looks resentfully at Karen Hayes' back as she walks away. He heads out into a corridor, pulling out his phone as he goes. 2:45. Western
operations. This is Miles Pervasian, Homeland Security, Los Angeles, passcode 2166. Put me through to Mike Novick.
One moment, please.
Yes, Miles, what is it?
I need your input, sir, because I'm having a problem with Karen Hayes. I'd like to preface what I'm about to tell you by saying that I don't wish to be second-guessing myself.
I don't have time for prefaces. Karen Hayes was called in to replace Bill Buchanan. She was hand-chosen by the vice president to take that post.
I understand that, sir.
Are you saying you feel she's unfit to do the job?
4 hours ago, she relieved Bill Buchanan for ineffectual leadership. He's been working covertly with Chloe O'Brien to aid Jack Bauer, a federal fugitive, which means Buchanan needs to be dealt with appropriately.
And what has Karen done?
She sent an attack team to pick them both up, but by the time they got there, O'Brien was gone. But instead of having the team do the interrogation of Buchanan on site, Karen wasted 20 minutes by bringing him into CTU.
Maybe she felt the interrogation would be more effective with CTU resources.
But, sir, she isn't even using rudimentary CTU resources. She wants to do a soft Q&A by herself.
Any leads we may have had on O'Brien have dried up.
Wait a second, Miles. I'm not going to pass judgment on Karen Hayes at this point. She's not interrogating a terrorist. She's dealing with a high-ranking federal employee. And sometimes finesse and diplomacy are better than coercion.
Your concern is duly noted, Miles.
If you'll excuse me, I need to see the president.
Pervasian closes his phone and walks angrily back out of the side corridor to his desk on the CTU operations floor. He slots an earpiece into his right ear and gets back to work.
Karen.
Shut up, Bill.
Karen punches keys. Pervasian, monitoring the interview room on his screen, is shocked to see it go dead.
We're offline. Now we can talk.
Look, you can continue this charade of me being under arrest if you want to, but Jack needs our help.
And he's getting it. But make no mistake, I am still in charge of this facility, and until I see that evidence, I must remain skeptical.
Have you talked to Chloe?
Yes.
What's Jack's status?
He's searching the cabin for the evidence, but the pilot is going to land that plane.
How much time does Jack have?
15 minutes.
To search over 50 passengers? That's impossible.
Yes?
President and Mike Novick want an update on the hijacking of Flight 520.
Put them through.
Go ahead, sir.
Ms. Hayes, this is the President. Talk to me about 520.
We know that Bauer's involved, but we don't know why.
Isn't it obvious? Bauer is a fugitive, and he's looking for safe passage out of the country.
Well, that's certainly a possibility, sir.
Listen to me. This man is desperate. He will say or do anything. He's not to be trusted. We need to take him down now, dead or alive.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President.
Look, you call the pilot. You tell him that I don't care if Bauer's making threats or not. That plane has to land immediately. And when it lands, I want my Secret Service detail to take him into custody. Is that clear? Ms. Hayes?
Yes, Mr. President.
The President has had knowledge of everything that's happened today. He wants that plane down before Jack finds the evidence. We have to buy him more time.
I don't have the authority to keep that plane from landing.
Sir. This still doesn't make sense to me.
What?
Jack Bauer has been on the right side of everything that's happened today up until now.
Well, right now, he is hijacking a plane. This man is not stupid. He's appeared to do the right thing, but right now, he's backed into a corner, and he's desperate.
Do you really believe that, sir?
I absolutely do. Bauer's lied to us all day. He's played us all for fools.
Mike Novick eyes Logan cagily. 2:49, end of part 3. Part 4, 2:54. Novick leans heavily on the desk. Papazian looks grim. Chloe's admirer begins to come round. She administers another charge to his arm.
Flight operations.
This is Chloe O'Brien again.
Yes, Miss O'Brien.
The co-pilot, Don Fagenson, didn't check in when he boarded Flight 520.
Mr. Fagenson didn't board.
Why not?
He was replaced at the last minute.
By whom?
Scott Evans, the new co-pilot.
Chloe accesses Scott Evans' details, which reveal that he has an exclusive contract with Omicron International. Jack finishes searching the handbag of one of the female passengers.
Anything's go back to your seat.
Jack, it's the co-pilot, Scott Evans.
How do you know?
He used to fly for Hatton Air. It's a private charter company that worked exclusively for Omicron. Evans was assigned to Henderson's group. He flew him around for over a year.
Okay, I need you to patch me through the captain on a discreet channel so Evans can't hear me.
Okay.
A male passenger tries to rush Jack.
Sit down! Now! Everybody stay in your seats and no one will get hurt.
You okay?
I'm fine.
Incoming comm on 139.
Go ahead.
Captain, this is Jack Bauer. I'm speaking to you on a discreet channel. The person that I'm looking for, the man with the evidence that I need, is sitting next to you. He's your co-pilot, Scott Evans.
That's ridiculous.
Sir, my sources have informed me that Evans was the last-second replacement.
Can you explain to me why you're not playing with your regular co-pilot, Don Fagenson?
Captain, Scott Evans has been connected to a known terrorist. You need to open the door.
This conversation is over.
Damn it.
What do you want?
He's desperate. He wants us to land.
This is messed up.
Yeah. Bad luck for you, huh? Well, wasn't Don supposed to have your seat tonight?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
I don't know. I got the call, so I'm here.
Yeah.
The captain is looking oddly at the co-pilot. The captain suddenly winces as if in terrible pain.
Oh, God.
What's wrong?
Could you take the stick for a second?
You okay?
Yeah, I just got a cramp in my leg.
Yeah, those are a bitch.
Yeah.
The captain makes a sudden lunge to unlock the door. Evans knocks him out with a heavy torch. Jack spots the door is unlocked and forces an entry into the cockpit.
I'm the only one who can fly this plane!
Jack floors Evans with two expert blows.
Now, you don't strike me as a man who's willing to die for Christopher Henderson. Give me the recording.
Evans, his eyes wide with fear, reaches into his breast pocket and hands Jack the small chrome recorder. Jack pockets it.
Slowly. Get up. Get back in your seat. If you're gonna land this plane, or I'm gonna put a bullet in your head.
Yeah, Jack.
Advise CTU, I have the recording. I'll be on the ground in less than 15 minutes.
Got it.
The terrified Evans flies the plane. Karen Hayes paces in the interrogation room. The passengers sit paralyzed with fear as the plane alters course. Martha sits groggily holding a telephone receiver to her ear. 2:58, Logan sitting at his desk answers the phone.
Yes?
Charles, if I'm gonna live with this, then you're gonna have to help me.
Help you do what, Martha?
Understand. I know you're a good man, and that deep down you do what's best for this country.
Of course I do.
Then why didn't you come to me? Why? I'd have been there for you. I could have talked you through it.
For God's sake, Martha, for the last 3 years, you've been one click away from a nervous breakdown every single day, and I'm going to come to you for advice. I have to take another call.
No! Charles, no.
We'll talk later. Yes.
Bauer's got the evidence. He is in control of the plane.
How do you know that?
We just picked up a call from Chloe O'Brien to Karen Hayes.
What do we do?
You are going to have to shoot down that plane, Mr. President.
What?
It's the only option you've got. Otherwise, you go to prison for treason and murder.
Logan stares ahead, desperately trying to absorb this latest bombshell. 3 a.m., the end.